Hello, and welcome to another episode of Point to Point. Today's episode, hey, it's out, it happened, we're done, woohoo! The Fallout video is out. I just finished the upload, so by the time you hear this, it will be hitting the YouTube feeds. Holy cow, that video is probably the longest, biggest project I've done for the YouTube channel since we started it. Man, I'm really happy with it. It's a really good video. You should go check it out. I was kind of hoping to use this particular episode of Point to Point as a bit of a kind of like a behind the scenes deal and kind of talking about the production of it and everything. I guess not a ton of spoilers about the video. It's a 15 minute long YouTube video essay. That's, you know what that is. But I did just kind of want to talk through the process of it because, like I said, this has been probably the biggest production I have done since posting videos. It's also a thing that I think I've been sitting on the script for this one. I mean, shit, probably 4 or 5 months now. The kernel of the idea of this one, and I kind of mentioned it in the video, comes from the Vault Tech episode that Logan and I did for Codex, which is, you know, even before we did the rebrand to 70% complete. So the kernel of the idea about, you know, what the most powerful weapon in the Fallout universe is, it comes from that conversation that we had. You'll even hear mention of of Helldivers, whether it's cosplay or satire, which is a video that I put out several months ago at this point. So it's been in the works. I finally recorded it and everything, and, you know, part of the recording process for this is I ended up 3D printing a teleprompter to actually work with the script. So it's a real classic case of I could have done it the way I did all of my other videos by just, you know, memorizing a couple of paragraphs or reading it off screen and trying to edit around the looks and everything. And that would have taken me probably an hour and a half to kind of do the whole track record. Or I could spend an entire day designing a teleprompter to 3D print so that I could spend roughly the same amount of time learning how to read off of a teleprompter. When we talk about it being the biggest production, it's in all meanings of the word production. So it's the video, I guess. Like, if you haven't watched it yet, it's you know, if you're watching this on YouTube or listening to this episode on YouTube, hey, it's probably a thumbnail you can see in view right now. But the video itself, it's called the Most Powerful Weapon in Fallout, and in it, I kind of argue that the most powerful weapon that is used in Fallout is not a Merv mini nuke. It is not the Shredder minigun. It's not a suit of power armor. It is the nostalgia that game uses to kind of batter everyone over the head in the game, and from the costuming to kind of how everyone is building their homes in the post-apocalypse in the husks of, you know, this thing that no one really had lived through but are very nostalgic for. And so the video kind of goes into that through three main chapters, I guess is how I have it split up. The first is Sierra Petrova, I think is her name. There's even a joke about how I didn't say her name right. I said her name Petrovita. Who knows? It doesn't matter. She is the, if you remember, if you're a Fallout head, you will know her as the character in Fallout 3. She lives in Girdershade, and she has the Nuka-Cola Museum in her house, and she's a big collector, and her big quest is that you're supposed to find all of the Nuka-Cola Quantum. And then in Fallout 4, she comes back in the Nuka World expansion that they put in the game, and she has, like, a whole quest about, you know, she came from DC, worked her way all the way across the wasteland to get to the Disney theme park version of a, you know, for a soda company. And, you know, this stuff happens there about, you know, how her nostalgia for this thing she never experienced kind of, like, pulls her forward. And she has to face that nostalgia, you know, literally face to face and kind of deal with it. The second chapter is about one of the cooler main quests in Fallout 3, and it's about hunting down your dad who went to go get the Gek, and it you run into Vault 112, which is the vault of Dr. Braun, probably most commonly known as Tranquility Lane. And it's a Tranquility Lane, if you haven't played Fallout 3, or I feel like Tranquility Lane is up there as a video game quest in the same way that the Bloody Baron is. Like, maybe not the same, like, story level chops there, but it, at least for a while there, it was a prime touchstone for look at cool shit you can do in video games. And Tranquility Lane is, it's a VR simulation of a perfect suburbs cul-de-sac neighborhood, but hey, surprise, Dr. Braun is still there, and he's done some things to this, you know, quintessential nostalgia thing. And I think that what I get into in the video is how, you know, he has turned the quintessential suburb into a horror show simply because the nostalgia for, you know, this American suburb that he didn't really experience as a, you know, German-born citizen who came during, after the war. He, like, cannot live in the space as it is intended. Like, after a while, the nostalgia, when you live with it, kind of fades away and dies. And he turns it into a slasher film, kind of. And there's a lot of stuff that goes into that, but yeah, it's the Tranquility Lane bit is a fascinating quest that you should go look up. I do a pretty good job of summarizing all of this stuff in the video, but yeah, if you want to see it for yourself, go check it out. And then chapter 3. Chapter 3 is part of this, when I revisited Fallout late last year and earlier this year, I loaded into Nuka World, which is kind of the impetus for the video, and then I also got Vault-Tec Workshop, which is just, it was an expansion. I bought the season pass, and I fell off Fallout before the season pass ended, so I went back and did that, and Vault-Tec Workshop is a fascinating piece of DLC because it does the thing that I think a lot of players were clamoring for, but it also kind of makes you think about it a little bit. Vault-Tec Workshop is a DLC that you buy, I think it's like $5 standalone or part of the $30 season pass, and in it you basically are given the, because remember there's settlement controls and, you know, building stuff out, you can build your own settlements in Fallout 4, you're finally given all of the vault furniture, you're given the vault tunnels and the tools, and you're basically given a giant underground empty space to build your, you know, your fantasy vault in there. But it also comes with a quest line given to you by Valerie Barstow, who is a ghoul that was trapped in the tunnels. She is supposed to be the overseer of this particular vault, and she got trapped in there before they could make it. So for 200 years, she has been sitting inside this empty cavern surrounded by the construction crew that is slowly going feral. Now she wants you to build out the vault. And this is not a control vault, which is what typically typically what the main characters come out of are some variety of like a low-key control vault where, you know, nothing too crazy happens. And so you have like basically some vault-like experiments to run, and you get to do it. But specifically, you get to choose if you want to do it. Because it's kind of fucked up to just decide that in order to play this game, you have to do human trials of fucked up vault things. And it gives you like a very explicit choice in the beginning that you can basically say, hey, I'm not going to work for Vault Tech, just to get this stuff out of here. And then a pop-up comes up and says, hey, if you tell this lady to pound sand and get out of here, you will not be able to complete any of the quests for Vault 88 and this thing that you paid money for. And kind of the crux of the video is getting into like building up to this thing and saying, okay, well, now you are kind of being forced to interact with the Vault Tech experiments in order to make it worth the money that you spent. Like you have been put into your own Vault Tech experiment now. Like, how far are you going to go to make sure you see all of the content here? And I kind of like going along with that of like, they're coaxing you along with the nostalgia that like the Fallout fan has for all of the trappings of it. You know, you finally get to build this thing that is so iconic of Fallout. You finally get to have the clean pressed Vault 88 jumpsuits, and you can finally like run your own thing. And it's really just like tugging at the nostalgia of this. Meanwhile, like, Overseer Barstow is only fueled by nostalgia. Like, she says it multiple times that, you know, doing this mission is the only thing that's kept her alive. So I kind of get into that stuff and come to a grander conclusion. I'll let you kind of run into by the end of the video. But yeah, it was a very fun project. It's taken me a ton of time to do just because Fallout is a very big game, and kind of getting all of the stuff to line up in a way where it's fun. And like the video is pretty kinetic, and we have all of the, you know, all of the clips we need in there. And that's just made it be such a beast of a project. But I'm honestly super proud of it. Like, it's one of my favorite videos already. I'm actively in the middle of rendering it out while I'm away. And then I will be, you know, doing some final passes. But by the time this episode comes out, that video will be out and you can go watch it. And let me know what you think, because like I said, I'm really happy with it. I think that it's going to be a really good one. And you should go give it a watch. But if you want to hear more about the production aspect of it, or other stuff that I'm working on, or, you know, other videos that have come out, just let me know. Hit me up in the Discord or on Blue Sky, and I'm happy to kind of dig into it. That it's always, I feel like no one ever talks about how people make things, and that's been kind of the biggest struggle for me and kind of Logan too, as like creators trying to make a podcast and like make a website, is that, you know, everyone just has final polished stuff out there, and the, you know, behind the scenes stuff is saved for whatever is the good stuff that makes it into the director's commentary on big films. And so I think that like stuff as you build it is always stuff that I wish existed more. So I'm gonna try to at least like do these kind of regroups at the end of the videos, or, you know, talk through it on some of our other podcast stuff. But let me know if this is something that is interesting to you, because I wish that more people did it, and, you know, maybe not in this format, but let me know. I'm always happy to talk about how I make things as much as the things that I make, because I think that's, you know, the creative process is, This video took me 16 hours to edit, but it took me 6 months to get to this point. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that is happening in there before the final product ever comes out. But we'll end this one here. Thanks for listening to Point to Point. Hopefully I got to a point. I don't really know if I did, but the video did. So, hey, that counts. Hit us up on the Discord. There's links to that in the show notes here. Same for my Blue Sky account. You can go to 70%complete.com to see post about this video. You can see our past videos, articles that I've written, plenty of stuff up there to hang out and chat about. Have a good rest of your day. And hey, thanks for hanging out with me on this drive. I'll talk to you, I guess, next week. See ya.